encouraging branch stacking in Labor's Western Sydney branches. Labor's National Executive has already appointed two party elders to administer the Victorian branch after allegations of branch stacking emerged earlier this week. The latest revelations have come as a surprise to the National President of the Australian Labor Party, Wayne Swan, who told the ABC he was unaware of allegations of branch stacking in its New South Wales division.
Well, I haven't seen that report, so I can't speak to its authority, but we have procedures in New South Wales to deal comprehensively with this. We've just been through a review and a re-establishment of our structures and processes in New South Wales. I'm very confident if it is true, it'll be dealt with.
New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian says the state's Labor leader Jodie McKay has failed to respond to the allegations appropriately.
The Victorian Premier took action very swiftly and lost three cabinet ministers as a result. And here in New South Wales, a Labor leader seems to have tried to hope that the report never surfaced. I think action should be taken.
New coronavirus infections have hit record highs in six US states, marking a second week of a surge in cases. Arizona, Florida, Oklahoma, Oregon, and Texas have all reported record increases in new cases after recording all-time highs last week. Nevada also reported its highest single-day tally of new cases, up from a previous high on May 23rd. Health officials in many states have attributed the spike to businesses reopening and Memorial Day weekend gatherings in late May. More than 30,000 Australians have signed an online petition calling for the federal government to provide more support to the arts and entertainment industry. Employees are currently unable to access the JobKeeper wage subsidy scheme, despite the sector being one of the hardest hit by coronavirus restrictions. The petition, lodged by the Media, Entertainment and Arts Alliance, wants the government to introduce a tailored support package for the arts and entertainment industry and to extend the JobKeeper scheme to its workers. After 3 months of COVID-19 restrictions crippling the pub scene, hotel owners say it's time for restrictions to be lifted. Rabbi Yanni from South Yarra's Botanical Hotel is calling for an immediate lifting of the laws Australia-wide, despite a possibility such a move may spark a second wave of coronavirus. He says half of Victoria's licensed premises will close for good in the next 12 months, and this will be similar across the country. While Mr. Yanni says he's grateful for the restrictions, he believes they have now served their purpose.
But when I hear that 31 people died from the flu 5 months to May and we've had 19 pass away, as unfortunate as it is due to COVID-19, and we all want to play within the boundary, don't get me wrong, and this is what I'm trying to do, play within the boundary. All I'm asking is that boundary line is reviewed and not suffocate us in the meantime.
Hawthorn vice-captain Jager O'Meara is a strong chance to return in tomorrow night's AFL clash with Richmond. The midfielder suffered a minor fracture above his eye in the Hawks' first full-contact training session after the COVID-19 shutdown and missed last weekend's match against Geelong. Coach Alistair Clarkson says he's confident O'Meara will pass a fitness test today and take the field at the MCG tomorrow night.
National Radio News is supported by the Judith Nielsen Institute for Journalism and Ideas and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5, brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker.
It's currently 14.5 degrees, a bit cooler than before, and we're looking for a top of 17. Not quite sure if we're going to get that high. There's a high chance of showers, most likely in the late morning and afternoon, easing later this evening. The winds are from the south-southwest at 15 to 20 kilometres an hour, tending to the southeast 20 to 35 in the late morning. The sun will set at 6 minutes to 5 this evening. Looking for the rest of the week, Thursday is mostly cloudy, 10 to 18. Friday, mostly sunny, 8 to 20. Saturday, carbon copy, mostly sunny, 8 to 20. And Sunday, possible shower, 10 to 16. The moon is a waning crescent with new moon this Sunday, the 21st of June.
The updated traffic, brought to you by Fernwood Gym of Seven Hills and North Rocks on Alive 90.5.
Botany General Holmes Drive in the airport tunnel. There's a tidal flow trailer failure breakdown, something like that, but it's heavy traffic conditions, so be aware of that if you're heading through the airport tunnel. At Tempe, Princes Highway approaching Talbot Street, heavy traffic conditions, northbound traffic affected. It's not quite saying what the incident is, just heavy traffic there. So, again, it may be related to the tunnel. Arncliffe, Wickham Street at Charles Street. One or two eastbound lanes closed with your broken down truck. Mount Kohler, M1 Pacific Motorway, approximately 100 metres north of Coringai Chase Road. There's a breakdown car. One northbound lane's closed, so take that into account if you're heading northwards this afternoon. And Liverpool, Hume Highway near Rose Street, a truck breakdown. One of three northbound lanes closed. It's lane one. That started earlier today, but it's still around. Allow some extra travel time as you go through Liverpool. 6 minutes past 11 on Alive 90.5, and you're on Business Insights with Mario. And Mario, a bit cooler outside.
So it's my
oh, sorry,
mic,
you know, I didn't have you on there, Mario.
I'm just looking past 10 minutes and I'm going to hear myself. Jokes aside, did you drive the bike today?
No, I decided to sleep in this morning.
I'm going to... Okay.
I rode on Sunday, 50 kilometers on Sunday.
Okay, so let me ask our guest, Anthony Eager, what are you doing, you know, to keep yourself in shape? Because you're quite, in good shape.
Oh, well, thank you, Murray.
You're welcome, mate. That's a compliment, it's going to be $50 each. So
God, you already have my banking details.
It's going to be easier, direct debit there. So, no, jokes aside,
I train 3 mornings a week, just weight training and cardio training. I actually have been doing that for... since I was 35, I've been doing that for 16 years. In my mid-30s already, I was very aware of the fact this is the time when the male body starts to go downhill. And, in middle age with all obesity and heart disease and all the rest of it. So, and I'd always been pretty fit most of my life. But I was very, so I just threw myself into that. And now it's just very much part of the life, get up early and train. And for my current work, it's very good at managing stress levels and keeping you mentally alert. So, 3 mornings a week, get absolutely hammered by my trainer and then get into work, yeah.
Question do I have for you, it's related to that, health stuff. There's a lot of business owners there, but even people, it's a lot of people who work in corporate world. But it seems to me that people take it, it's very easy health thing. Would you give somebody suggestion, to exercise more in the morning rather than just being in a bed longer and, take a nice and easy half a carb between the two slices of bread?
I have to say that you should look at your body as the vehicle for you for your entire life.
Don't look at me, look at Darren, I'm fat anyway, so it's like Darren is fit,
My personal view is that road cyclists have a kind of half a death wish, man. You guys going around trucks and traffic.
Yeah, I've got three screws in my hip, but not because of the road, actually, just because of a very silty weir in Parramatta. So,
well, there you go.
It can be the most innocuous of places where you actually do
come to grief. Yeah. I think this is all you've got for your whole life. It's got to take you through longer than ever, and there's no point. It's just a very sad outcome to be physically in a very bad place for the last 20 years of your life. And I think you can be more productive and have a better life if you're in good shape. And it actually gives you a high if you train really well. You have an emotional high. I think that's very important. So to someone who wants to sleep in all the time and eat too much, I'd say give yourself 30 to 60 days not to do that. And you'll feel the benefits straight away, and you won't go back.
Now, what better to somebody give you a tip or advice than Anthony Eager from the Contracts of Debt Recovery? So, Anthony, after 18 months breather, you come back in Australia. You bought yourself the nice, unique in Randwick.
Yeah.
And then?
Then I was set up on a blind date. With,
there was no Tinder there or something.
No,
there.
No.
Was it those?
If only.
It was that all those age internet? No. No, it was.
No. Internet was there.
Before Tinder, though. Yeah.
But they weren't all those apps that made it oh so easy.
Yeah.
I was.
Who's
set
the
up, I set up on a.
Tell us about a blind date.
A blind date. Friends of mine said, look, a friend of mine was talking about how his cousin was going on these dates and they were just disasters. We know you've I was going on a few dates. They were all disasters. So why don't you have a mutual disaster and go on a date with her? And told me her name. And I had actually met her at a party 5 years beforehand in 1998.
Speaking about destiny.
And I had worked my backside off trying to get her interested in me for about 2 hours and failed miserably.
For the landline number, those days.
Any recognition at all would have satisfied me.
Yeah. You know?
But look, we had a very polite conversation for a long time. Then she left and I thought, why would I try and get a number? This is just all too bloody hard. And it was this girl 5 years later. Would you like to go on a blind date with her? So it wasn't blind for me, but it was blind for her.
So you didn't know each other that you want to meet?
Hey?
Nothing. You didn't know you're going to meet that day.
No.
Not well, even they a fucking hint yet.
No, that was 5 years before, but on the blind date, I knew who she was and I said, yep, let's set it up. But she'd forgotten who I was.
Well, the girl stuff here usually.
I think she'd forgotten who I was literally 5 years before, immediately after that party. I think she'd forgotten who I was.
So you had an advantage, though?
Yeah, I had an advantage. I laid down a game plan. We strategized. I had a whole which worked because we went on a blind date, and 4 months later, we were engaged, and we've been married 16 years.
Speak about destiny.
Boom, boom. There you go. And I think she might even be listening. My father-in-law might be listening. So this ties in to my business. This ties into my business. Because her father, now my father-in-law, was the commercial manager for the Electrical Contractors Association.
Okay.
And I then wasn't working anywhere. I had nothing. Didn't know what I was going to do. And he said, why don't you, I've got two guys who have a very successfully growing business, electrical business. You've had an operations role. They need structure to help them grow. Why don't you go and talk to them? Maybe you can work with them for a while.
That's a good father-in-law, yeah?
Processes, procedures. Well, I mean, especially I'd only been dating his daughter there for a couple of months to already, you know, throw me a line. I must have made a reasonable impression. So he, so I did. I met those two guys, and they were actually younger. They were younger than me, and today very successful. They built some huge businesses in the construction industry, and I worked for them for about 18 months, and had pretty much done everything I had to do, and that was around 2005, 2006, But it was through working for them that, you know, they were owed some money. People hadn't paid for their electrical work. And I thought, well, what's going on here? This is most people outside construction don't understand how bad the problem is and the amounts of money we're
in construction
talking.
Industry.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Who don't understand how much money we're talking about and how long people wait and how many times people don't get paid at all. So my father-in-law then said, well, why don't you look at this Security of Payment Act? And try and get them their money. So it was a piece of legislation. It was 23 pages. So,
on English, of course.
Wordsmith in English.
Short one. Not too long.
Not too long. I'll have a bit of a read.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how good is life that you can read some legislation?
Yeah.
So I had a bit of a read, and I thought, I can do this. This is just like uni when I used to write essays and used to argue my case, and I had to provide evidence and I had to make an argument. But I do it for a good cause.
And you get paid as well.
And you get paid. Well, then I was or just working for them. For now, at that point, I just wanted to see, could I make this thing work? I mean, how hard is this? So that's what I did. I prepared, they owed some money, and I prepared an application, and I worked through the process. And remember, the Security of Payment Act started in New South Wales in 2000, but in 2005, it was still very little used.
It was El Dorado.
Unknown. No one really knew what was going on, right? So I did an application and it was successful and they got paid. And I think it was about $80,000. So I thought, well, this looks like something. And I started to look into it. I hark back to the point, going back for years, I graduated with my business degree in 2001. Sadly, my father had already died. He never got to see it, sadly. But you know, I thought, well, let's put that to use and see what potential there is with all this. So I established a few things pretty quickly. Number one, no one knows about it. Number two, no one knows about it. Number two, contractors who do know about it don't understand it.
Okay.
Number three, lawyers know it and hate it because there's no litigation. It's over very quickly. It's not really a good arrow. And if you're running a legal practice, not really something you want to be doing. I get that. And number five, construction contractors don't understand it and don't want to.
Why they don't want to?
It took me a while to work out that they don't want to. Because they're too busy tendering, quoting, and not only that, funnily enough, wading through piles of text and writing submissions and looking through documentation is not really what, you know, a concreter wants to do, or a gyprocking contractor or anyone. That's just not their game. But it took a couple of years for me to work that out. But I thought, you know, this, I think there's some scope here. I'd enjoy doing it. And the arts degree and the business degree combine to give you that skill set to prepare submissions and write submissions. Submission is basically, Mario, a long essay that talks about what happened with the work, who said what, here's evidence supporting the version of events, here's what the contract says, why should you get paid, yada, yada, all, and put it all together in a single submission, which is exactly what I did all through INI and what I did in my...
Well done, there. Well done. You see how the life is like, you know, it's unusual. I mean, you're going through the life and then suddenly you start doing your own business, something you never thought about.
You get opportunities and you take them, and that's where life leads you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was it did seem to connect dots. So then in 2006, that's when I started with that business in the front sunroom of my Randwick apartment.
Yeah.
So by then I had married my wife Tanya. So we married in March 2004. And I started in 2006. So in 2006, I was in this apartment and just getting going. And Tanya was pregnant with my first son. Not yet born. He was born in September. And I had to try and make this thing work. So I started by offering trade associations the chance to run seminars. So I'd written up and created a seminar with notes and descriptions, and this.
So you're like a pioneer in that type of industry, because
right at the beginning that I was going to own this space.
Yeah,
no one else was interested in it. I thought it provided a very valuable service for a market that was not serviced at all.
On that note, what was your biggest obstacle starting your business?
It was
in all honesty, what was your biggest obstacle? Wake up 5 o'clock in the morning,
Getting clients. I mean, the biggest frustration for me was, I'm offering something that is so important to their business. I can do it well.
Yeah.
There should be a no-brainer for them wanting to use me. Yeah. And yet it didn't quite work.
What was that? Is this because the English was too, you know, condensed, you know, written, the way they don't understand? As you said, they didn't want to understand. Or they just simply didn't care?
No. It was just an issue of awareness, okay? So first of all, they had to be aware of what the Act actually did. And they had to be aware of me, and they had to be aware of the kind of results that the Act could produce. So I had three levels of awareness that no one was aware of that would take years. I mean, we're years down the track.
Yeah.
So at that time, so how do I do that with no budget? I can't go on TV. I don't have investors. Couldn't do any of it. So the best, lowest cost way that I could do it quickly to get an audience was to offer seminars to trade associations, and a lot of them took me on.
Interesting, Anthony, because, you know, people who listen to this now, they'll listen to this, you know, I mean, there's many entrepreneurs there, and we all believe, you know, I was the one like white people doesn't want to use my services, you need this, you know, you need this, but then you understand that you need to create something there to educate them first. So who is your biggest support on that part of creating Contractors Debt Recovery Company? Who is your biggest support?
Who's my biggest support? I don't know. I suppose, you know, it's been going for a while. There's an arc in how the business evolved. But back at that time, I have to thank those trade associations for giving me a break, because, and in particular, if I could name one, it would definitely be the Civil Contractors Federation. They were very happy to put members. We ran classes, and I offered one class that sold out.
Yeah.
Another one sold out. The three classes sold out almost immediately. So this is back 2006.
Wow.
And that's how it started. Now, what I didn't understand then, but I very much understand now, is that in construction, you've got these natural gatherings where these guys all talk to each other, guys and girls, I should say, more frequently today especially, is on building sites. So if I can help the air conditioning guy, he's probably having a coffee with the civil guy on the same site, both of them struggling to get paid, and one talks to the other. I didn't understand that at that point, but running those seminars, I had immediately, and I ran them pretty well, and immediately I had 100, 200 people who would talk about me to colleagues each other, in the industry. Yes. They all talked to each other. And that's when it kind of started, but very slowly, man. It was spluttering. I was trying other marketing initiatives. I tried a fax blast. You know, you could send out 1,000 faxes.
Fax, Darren. Fax, does that exist, Darren?
What's a fax?
What's a fax, sir? We'll take a short break. Listening to Line 90.5, Darren and Mario B. Back with our guest in studio, Anton Eager from Contracts with Debit Recovery. So to all builders, traders, please tune in at Line 90.5, the best and most desirable radio station on the planet.
Yeah. 90.5. You're listening to the sound of Alive 90.5.
Are you in the market to hire an honest, reliable, long-term plumber? If so, you want to look out for one that is fully licensed and insured, has your interest at heart, displays professionalism and is branded. Neat, clean and tidy, and treats your domain with respect and care. Look no further. Waterflow Plumbing is your plumber. Fully licensed and insured in plumbing, draining, gas fitting, roof plumbing, waterproofing and mini excavation. Call Bradley on 0488 300 480 or email info at waterflowplumbing.com.au. Waterflow Plumbing, station sponsor.
Are you an experienced disability care worker? Then why not consider the benefits of working for Global, the leading disability care agency in Sydney? Agency Work offers variety to work where and when you want. If you have previous disability care work experience, a first aid certificate and driver's license, then Global is the agency for you. Global offers great rates of pay and free training courses to its own disability care staff. Check out positions vacant on the website at globalcarestaff.com or call today on 1800 009 292. That's globalcarestaff.com or call 1800 009 292.
Station sponsor.
My name is Bernie and I'm a prostate cancer specialist nurse. Right now, my patients are struggling. Some have low immunity. Many are all alone. And I'm worried about their physical and mental health during this COVID-19 pandemic. Will you please help me look after them?
Keep prostate cancer nurses like Bernie on the front line of care. Become a prostate cancer Blue Hero today. Go to blueheroes.com.au now to find out more. That's blueheroes.com.au.
It's 27 minutes past 11. You're on Alive 9.5.
Sure,
Insights with Mario. Take it away.
Darren and I are contemplating something, so stay tuned in the next couple of weeks. You're going to be pleasantly surprised. I put him in the heat, actually. But as I say, you know, we're going to do it. So, you know, to all of our listeners, Darren and Mario are going to do something very special in very near future. So stay with us. But before that, we're talking to Anthony Igra from Contracts of Debt Recovery. Anthony, you said who helped you. How they help you, and hello to father-in-law and your family on the line, because that was very nice what you said. And you know, how did you finally manage to break into the game with the construction contract, yeah, or act, whatever it's calling? So
yeah, it was okay. So look, the act itself, I realized I had to make people aware of it and then comfortable using it and engaging me to do it. And in that, the word was spreading, but it still, it wasn't, there's a mindset that I became aware of with construction contractors, which was you just cop it. You lose 150 grand, just deal with it, move on, take the loss, keep moving on. So again, I had to fight the mindset with, well, why are you taking the loss? You can get it. Let's go and get it. Oh, you think?
Yeah, but the losses are like not a few hundred bucks. No,
they're ridiculous. The current figures are $3 billion a year goes unpaid. $3,000 million that are not in businesses' pockets. $3,000 million.
How many bicycles is that here? You know me.
Lots of bicycles. And Anthony, I was just thinking, I came from a working period of 20 years, and in the later part of that, for where I worked, I was doing project management of large construction projects, and the one I did leave was...
Oh, you've kept that pretty quiet for the last hour and a bit, haven't you? Just as well I'm out of arm's length.
Yes, but a client, not a contractor. So I'm actually, the contractors, they can be maybe as difficult to a client as they can to the subbies as well. But I understand that a lot of what's going to happen is around the variations.
Yeah.
And so I can see that a contractor asks a subbie to go and do that work, and the subbie thinks it's within their contract with the contractor, but actually it's a variation for the client, and the client decides not to pay, and so that goes down the line.
Yep.
Have you had those sorts of examples? And how do you work
example, that is the, that's 80% of the work.
Yeah.
Is the variation. That's not, you talk about like it's a weird add-on. That's really most of it.
And that's something that most of our listeners, unless they're in the industry, just wouldn't understand how this all works and how difficult it can be for someone that you're helping.
Well, it's simply extra work. So either what happens is contractors will be asked to do, and even builders, who are builders' clients, asked to do extra work. Just, can you just go and do this? So it's not scoped or recorded. No one stops and goes, hang on, is that extra
or is that in the contract?
Yeah.
If it's a builder between a developer, they might know it's extra, but already decide they're not going to pay the subby for it, and they're not going to bother their client, the developer, for it, and the subby just wears it, or they think it's in the subby scope of work, and then all of a sudden realise when they look at the scope that they've missed a huge chunk.
Isn't that illegal? Like, I'm sending you, like, you know, if it's out of the scope of the work.
You'd like to say it's illegal, but in some cases it's just poor project management, and then someone says, you got to do it. And then it's often the poor subbies that have to wear it, and that's where Anthony fits in.
Yeah, yeah, that's a big part of the job. So that they have to do they do extra work. No one document. I mean, the worst thing that ever happened to the construction industry was this little thing of the phone.
Yeah.
Because everyone just talks, because no one wants to write anything down. And thank God they don't like writing things down, because that's why I have a business.
But Anthony, you were the celebrity as well. You're on a TV show, Current Affair, recently.
Two years ago. I was on Current Affair.
And how did you feel going on TV?
I enjoyed the experience. I thought it was really good. I think the plight, I mean, look, it was obviously raised a lot of awareness about what I do, but it also raised awareness of the actual plight of what goes on. I mean, one fellow on that job, show, one of my clients was down $2.5 million, just over $2 million for four. He'd worked on a job for 4 years and had not been paid a cent.
Come on, seriously?
No, seriously. But
how you can work 2 years not being paid?
I mean, that's the first question. I'm going, John, are you mad? What's Darren? Going on?
Only if you're volunteering for this great radio station. But apart from that,
That's acceptable from the beginning, you know what I mean? But we're talking about a building site or anything, like 2 years working, not get paid 2 years, and then you need to go to Anthony.
But he was literally down to his last Zach. He'd maxed everything out. He'd had nothing. He thought, I've asked so many times, but this is the thing. This is the mindset I was telling you about, where it's just not worth it. Can I really do it? Just very downtrodden mindset. And I said, well, let's go get it. And he had fantastic documentation. Mm-hmm. He had God's gift of documentation. Mm-hmm. He had reports. He had everything. You just had to put it together in a submission, which is what we do. And sure enough, we got the whole lot decided in his favor. He got paid 2 days later.
Who's paying the subcontractors? Who's paying the subcontractors?
Well, it'll be the builder.
Yeah.
If it's a builder working for a developer, it's the developer that has to pay it. Whoever in the contract you're doing the work for.
Yeah.
In this particular instance, it was a unnamed state utility. Yeah. Who hadn't paid him.
It's called the Marion Darren Utility. Yeah. Let's go call that one. Yeah.
And it was quite interesting because when we'd won that one, he got an email from them, a very terse email that says, we're just letting you know we're going to be transferring $2.132 million into your account tonight.
Yeah.
But we reserve our rights in respect to this matter, or something like that, just a usual blurb, right?
Yeah.
So John sends me that email and I rang him. I said, this is fantastic, mate. Tomorrow morning you're going to have $2 million in your bank account. Yeah. It's incredible. No, this is far from over. This is awful news. I said, what do you mean it's awful news? They're reserving their rights, Anthony. They're reserving their rights.
Why? He didn't sell the soul.
I said, John, do you even know what that means?
Yeah. That's
not really. It means they're very, very angry.
Yeah.
And they're paying you. And he got paid, and the rest is history. So that saved his bacon. I've had a few stories like that. But I mean, if we go from where our story was, I was struggling along. But in 2007, again, referred from someone that I was in a seminar with, in 2007, a huge company contacted me, a civil cartage company contacted me, and they were owed $3 million on a huge state government project.
Wow! Darren, did you hear these numbers?
$3 million, but they were half. They were $500,000 in overdraft.
It's amazing.
Well, we'll take a short break to just that spinning numbers comes out of my head, because this is the huge numbers, Anthony.
Yeah, it's scary.
And you're truly, you have a set of skills to help many, many builders there. You're listening along 90.5 Business with Mario. With us in studios, Anthony Igra from Contracts of Debt Recovery. Be back after a short break.
Live 90.5.
I don't know why You think that you could hold me when you couldn't get by yourself. And I don't know who would ever want to tell the seam of someone's dream. Baby, it's fine. You said that we should just be friends. Well, I came up with that line, and I'm sure that it's for the best. If you ever change your mind, don't hold your breath. Look, you may not believe that, baby, I'm relieved when you said goodbye. It's my turn to fly, so girls get in line. Cause I'm easy, no playing this guy like a fool. Now I'm alright. You might have had me caged before, but not tonight. And you may not believe that, baby. It's a beautiful day, and I can't stop myself from smiling. If I drink and then I'm buying, and I know there's no denying that it's a beautiful day to send this up. And the music's playing, and even if it started raining, you will hear this boy complaining. Cause I'm glad that you're the one who got. Think I'll take up my time with thinking of a breakup, then you've got another thing coming your way. Cause it's a beautiful day. Beautiful day. Oh baby, any day that you're gone away, it's a beautiful day.
Pace is an urban renewal and property development specialist whose reputation is centred on delivering great places to live and work. They take pride in transforming and delivering harmonious communities. Melrose Park, developed by Pace, is one of Australia's largest urban renewal projects, providing new homes, jobs, retailing, parks and open spaces, and community facilities. Located around 6 kilometres east of Parramatta, Melrose Park is considered to be one of Sydney's next property hotspots. For more information on this exciting project, go to www.melrosepark.com.au. Station sponsor Pace, transforming places since 1978.
The Hills area has one of the most beautiful cemeteries in the Sydney region. Castlebrook Memorial Park at Rouse Hill provides the perfect resting place for your loved ones with manicured lawns and beautifully tended gardens. They cater for people from all backgrounds, and you can talk to their family service advisors almost any day from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Their website is castlebrook.com.au. Castlebrook Memorial Park is at Windsor Road, Rouse Hill, and is a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5.
Alive 90.5, broadcasting to the hills, Parramatta and Cumberland.
It's 21 minutes to 12. You're on Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario. And Mario's just stepped out at the moment, but we've got Anthony Igrun in the studio, and Anthony's talking all about his business of contractors debt recovery. And I sprung on him that I kind of was in the industry, but from a point of view of a client, which I hope he understands.
Oh, yeah, sometimes.
Now, you're leading us through some examples of how you got started in your business and electrical contractors, and I believe you got another one too.
Well,
to
this was kind of a turning point one. So this was right at the beginning where I really was struggling to get some clients along, and this was a $3 million debt,
and on a state government project. And I didn't really even know how to charge properly for it. But I said to them, if I get you your money, are you happy to give me 3%? Because I thought, well, this kind of numbers is what people sell houses for, and a real estate agent asks for 3% or 2%. So I thought, well, if I didn't got and you got paid or got any money, would you give me 3%? And they said, yeah, that sounds fair enough. Go get them. So I did. And at that time, just I had I had no job. I hadn't worked for a while. I had no money in the bank. I'm virtually no money in the bank. My son had been born by then, and I remember holding him just in the chair at night time, thinking, how are we going to survive? This little guy is relying on me for the next 20 years. This business is not going anywhere. I'm just trying it so hard to get it off the ground. And I started to sob a little bit, going, well, what am I doing with my life? Am I really doing even the right thing? Anyway, I was running this matter at that time, and it was very, very stressful. Anyway, I ran the case, and I won the whole amount in their favour. And now, will they get paid? You win the decision, but the other party still has to pay on that decision, and they do. We now have a very high 90% pay on decision ratio, but back then we're just starting out. And we had very little money left. I was very stressed, and my wife said, you know what, let's just all go down to Berry for the weekend. We'll just rent some little place and just take some time off and just chill out. And so I did. We were packing the bags. She was already in the thing, and there's a little shoe shop in Berry, and she loves their shoes. And I just said, forget it, you know. Anyway, I'm literally walking out to the car to put the bag in the boot, and my mobile phone rings, and it's the accounts lady at my client. It was quite a big company, to tell me, Anthony, we actually got paid. We got paid yesterday, and we'll be paying you your commission today. So you do the numbers.
Wonderful.
Nice
holiday that weekend.
I said, actually, you know that shoe shop?
the shoes are back on.
So look, it was a struggle, it was a struggle from 2007. It was still, you know, that was one in a million. But the business really came into its own in 2010. It was really a long struggling along the bottom just to pay your bills and to build awareness. But awareness built, there was a construction boom. I was talking to bigger and bigger audiences. I was talking at industry conferences, and I was doing a bit of marketing. The website started to have a lot of information, a lot of my videos. I did a series of videos in 2010, mm-hmm. which are still on my website today, which have big viewership. And I think more than anything, I really started to understand my client.
Do you believe that persistence paid off?
100%.
What do you think? 100%. Can you share with us, why do you think whether people stop believing in what they do?
People almost always invariably give up just as they're about to succeed. And everything we're told in our lives is fast success, instant mm-hmm. gratification.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't happen quick, it's just not going to happen at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, remember the Walmart fortune in America was built. I mean, they went for 20 years or something before they got their second store.
So, interesting enough, it's like, yeah. you know, that's a powerful story, Anthony. And, you know, I truly believe that our listeners, and particularly those who run their own businesses, can draw from your experience. And I truly believe the persistence it is. Of course, it's difficult. Darren's going to, you know, agree with me on this one. We're hearing a lot of people, and we're sharing, you know, some views on life. It's hard when money doesn't come on account. It's hard to sustain. Do you like to share with us what anybody in your life told you, don't do this, you're going to fail. Why are you doing this? You should go back in the office and do something like this. There was anybody, you don't need to name, but there was the people who told you, don't do this, Anthony, this is not good for you.
No, I haven't had that, but I've had in my corporate life that you're very abrasive and you get people, you're abrasive, you get people offside and you just don't toe the line.
Yeah.
And see, I thought that was actually a compliment. It took me a while to work out. But look, corporate life wasn't for me. But all those things I think are pluses for if you're going to be an entrepreneur, if you're going to go out on your own, if you're going to persist, you have to have that kind of sense of strength in your own mind that you will eventually succeed. And everything that I was doing said this has to succeed eventually. It's just a matter of awareness, and it's a matter of momentum. And it's a matter of a very common term that we read about now, which is a tipping point, Mario. So everything has its tipping point.
I have to ask one tipping point. Tipping point for Darren and I was that we decided to be in the studio during the COVID-19. And thanks to Darren, I mean, that was a great experience, because we could talk to the people. It was virtual, was over the phone. You know, it's not like you know in the studio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you can't ask the questions because you don't see the reactions. However, COVID-19 actually proved to me one thing, how unprepared most businesses are and how people actually fragile they are. Now, a lot of businesses sunk down. How did you go during the COVID-19 crisis?
I'm embarrassed to say.
Why? Don't be embarrassed.
It was amazing. I mean, we had business went mad. It was just mad. I've had a record year this year. During that COVID period, I could continue to work. I have an office that's bigger. I have just me and an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
There was enough distance between us, and we just kept going. And the construction industry didn't stop. That just kept going. So the two things I needed to keep going just kept going.
Yeah.
But what changed was the level of anxiety. So normally, another amazing thing is that when people are owed these amounts of money, they will wait 6 to 8 months before they talk to me or to anyone to get some help. They'll just cop it and argue back and forth and chase it for that amount of time. So, but with COVID-19, no more 6 months. Now, I want my money now. So all of a sudden, instead of just a certain inquiry rate over a period of time, it all bottlenecked and everyone was contacting us.
Yes.
And for big amounts, 700,000, 1.2 million. But also, I don't want people to think that that's just the numbers we deal with. Our stock clients are owed 20 grand, 30 grand, 40 grand. Between 20 and 50,000 is really your garden variety. But a lot of people, and I had not been busier in the last 3 months.
Well,
than
good
ever.
For you. That's a good successful story. We'll take a very short break because we need to wind up the show in the next 10 minutes. And Danny and I, you know, we're enjoying this one to all our listeners. With us in studio today, it's Anthony Gara. Contracts with debt recovery to all builders, tradies, everybody who is struggling to recover their debts, please find Anthony Gara. And Darren and I will take a short break. Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
To say live and let live. You know you did. But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry, say live and let die.
with this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in a cry. Say, live and let die.
Alive 90.5.
At Waterflow Plumbing, we trust and respect our customers. In turn, our customers know that we will always strive to put them first and treat them with respect, honesty, and give them the best in plumbing. A good relationship with our lifelong customers works both ways. We at Waterflow Plumbing are proud to assist our customers throughout the many stages of their plumbing life. For all your plumbing needs, call Waterflow Plumbing 0488 300 480 or email info@waterflowplumbing.com.au. Waterflow Plumbing, station sponsor.
Hey fellas, need a new suit? See Mike Sampson Clothier at Winston Hills. He's some great business suits, in fact, suits for any special occasion. Mike also has a complete range of accessories such as business or formal shirts, ties, belts and shoes, as well as plenty of casual wear for the season ahead. Mike Sampson Clothier is located at Shop 21 Winston Hills Mall and is a proud sponsor of Monday Magazine with Happy Jack. And of course, your sound, your community, 90.5.
Thanks for listening to the best in community radio, Alive 90.5.
It's 8 minutes to 12 and you're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario.
And Darren as well. Don't forget your name because Mario will not be alive if it's not Darren Capes Davis behind on the other side of the studio. However, we are very lucky and fortunate enough and privileged to have in the studio the man with unique skills and superpowers to make your money work for you, which you lost if you're a tradie, if you're a builder. Did I miss something else, Tony? Who you recover money as well?
Yeah, no. Dry cleaners. Anyone who does construction work. Yeah.
Construction works. Unfortunately, for those who bought units and apartments, I feel truly sorry. There is a couple, you know, sad stories this morning. Again, another building has been declared faulty and safe to leave. Anthony can't help with that one. However, if you're a tradie, if you are electrician, if you're a plumber, builder, please contact Anthony Igra. How they can contact you, Anthony?
There's the website. Contract.
Okay, that's enough. Okay, so Darren and I got. So you tried
like
to drive.
I was at a dinner party.
That's a speed dating. You know, yeah, like
that's right.
So please.
The website contractorsdebtrecovery.com.au. We've got a 1300 number that they can contact us on. A phone or just an email, which is contact@contractorsdebtrecovery.com.au. And we run claims obviously here, but actually all around Australia.
Around Australia, yeah?
Yeah, every state has a version of this act and we know them all.
Well, Anthony, that's beautiful. Before we wind up, I'd like to ask you, if you have the last $10 in your pocket, what would you do?
Go down to Messina and get a triple scoop of ice cream.
Darren, I never ask you, what would you do with your last 10 bucks in your pocket?
I'd probably buy some Marmite for my mum.
Oh, my God. That's my second question. Do you like the Vegemite or Marmite?
No, Vegemite. Marmite.
What's wrong with you people? Like, why did you say Nutella? Nobody says Nutella. Okay, Vegemite, yeah?
Nutella. Well, if Nutella, my careful, kids will love you for Nutella. No, there is a standoff in my house between Nutella and Vegemite, and it gets pretty ugly.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that there?
So my kids are into the Nutella camp. I'm in the Vegemite camp, and my wife hates both.
Okay.
it's pretty ugly at breakfast, I'll tell you.
Well, Anthony... Before we wind up the show, I'd like to say thank you. Thank you, Deborah Ibsen from the PR Bay Agency, for sending us lovely Anthony Igra. Igra, how do you spell his surname?
Igra, I-G-R-A.
Igra, sorry, not Igra.
Not Igra, Igra.
You see, my English is not good, man.
I don't know. It sounds exotic when you say it, Mario.
So what did you say? Next Sunday you're going on a bicycle with Darren, 50 clicks? No?
No, definitely not. I'll be in the support vehicle.
Well, Anthony, thank you for being our guest today.
Thank you very much
for having me, Mario. Business with Mario. Again, before our listeners go, the website name?
Contractorsdebtrecovery.com.au.
And that was Anthony Igra. I can't. I'm sorry. You need to Google it.
Anthony Igra.
I can't help this one. To all our listeners, you know, the show and how Anthony can help you, you can find today after 5 p.m. on our Live 90.5 Business Insight. Live95.com.au website, Business Insights with Mario. There's going to be a podcast with Anthony, and you can hear his details again, how can help you if you're trading, if you're expecting money and you not be paid. Thank you again to our listeners. Friday, midday, Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
All the leaves are brown. The sky is gray. I've been for a walk on a winter's day. Yeah. I'd be safe and warm if I was in LA.
Live 90.5.
Here's Dr. Jack from Beyond Infinity Dental.
A retired couple had a chat with me about implants. They were just sick and tired of being unable to chew a steak and bite into an apple. They were worried about two things, the pain and the cost. After I explained everything, they decided to go ahead with the implants to lock in their dentures. Now they couldn't be happier. They are always smiling.
Would you like the best in dental care? Call Dr. Jack on 9838 9111 or pop in at Shop 20A Winston Hill Shopping Centre, 180 Caroline Chisholm Drive, Winston Hills, 2153. Or go online, infinitydentalcare.com.au. Station sponsor.
And now on Alive 90.5. Here's the latest news, brought to you by PACE, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Laura Devoy. Australia is stepping up its rhetoric against China, accusing Beijing of spreading disinformation.